Welcome to Gluck Radio. I am Dr. Errol Gluck, executive life coach and master problem solver. We're here with Ray Gutz, a man who has never had sex or even a girlfriend for his entire life. And for the 33-year-old comedian, that is not a joke. His article about his feelings on his own virginity went viral online a few months ago. And we're here to go further in depth about the shame, stigma, and psychological blocks that he's been facing. Is there something wrong with him, or is there something wrong with society? We're also here in the studio with psychologist and author Mark Darian, author of an ebook that gives men practical tools on how they could overcome shame. How does shame lurk beneath almost every problem men face, from sexual dry spells to the fear of public speaking? Ray's years of having shame and Mark's years of studying it will give all men some much-needed insight.
As a woman, an expert of history's great male seducers, I'll have a few things to say that Ray might need to hear. What are we attracted to in men? And are men who feel shame going too hard on themselves? I don't just have a perspective. I might have the answers.
Gentlemen and Betsy, welcome. Mark, Ray, we really appreciate you being on the program. How we're going to start is John is going to start to play a clip of Ray's doing stand-up comedy, which will lead into my first question. So why don't you, John, play the clip?
I like Disney movies. Who here likes Disney movies? Anybody? Yeah, that's some good shit. I like them, but I like the old ones, because back in the day when Walt Disney was alive, back in the day, you know, so if you watch them, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, they all end with the girl going off to get fucked. That's how they all end. Come on, what was the song in Snow White? Someday my prince will come. The only question is on her face or on her back, right, folks? That was a dirty bitch. She was fucking seven midgets, so she don't have to pay the rent. That's all I gotta say.
That was Snow White, not Sleeping Beauty.
What?
Snow White, not Sleeping Beauty.
I said Snow White. That's why I said. I said Snow White. Someday my prince will come. That's Sleeping Beauty was the one who got date raped. That's what? That was Sleeping Beauty? No, it's Snow White. I got it on DVD and Blu-ray, son. I'm a Disney nerd. I got that shit.
You're a Disney nerd? What's the princess name? Beauty?
It's Belle. Everybody knows that. The prince.
The Beast. What's his name?
The Beast? I don't know. Ugly motherfucker. When did this become are you smarter than a fifth grader? Let's fucking... I got mad jokes to tell about the hood. And she's like, all right. Who did the fucking music in 101 Dalmatians? What was the studio? What were the dates?
That is the clip, and which leads into the first question. Now, this is really all about the fact that you are a virgin and you're how old?
I'm 33 right now.
You're 33. Yeah. So my first two questions of this is, why is it a big deal that you are or aren't a virgin? And do you choose to be a virgin at 33? And if you don't choose, why are you?
I don't think it's a big deal at all. At the time when I wrote the article 2 months ago, it was a bigger deal. And the reason why I wrote the article was that, you know, there was a lot of people kind of passing judgment on virgins after what that – I forget the guy's name. What was the guy's name?
Elliot Rodger.
Yes, that guy. So, you know, he shot a bunch of people because he was angry he was a virgin. And I don't think he really shot them because he was angry that he was a virgin. He you know, he would have made any excuse. If he had sex at seven, he would have made an excuse, you know, I don't like girls that wear pink. He just would have made an excuse to shoot people. But I kind of felt that, like, if there's, like, some 20-year-old out there, some 21-year-old that feels like they're a big loser, or they feel that, like, you know, like, they're going to go down a dark path. Because I just went to other websites where there's guys that, like, their whole lifestyle is that they're a virgin and that they're devoted to it. I think it's called incels?
Involuntary celibate, yeah.
Yeah. It's called those guys. So I said, let me write an article that says it's not really a big deal if you're a virgin. And even if, like, let's say, because I'm sure, like, if you're 21 – and you think to the forward to the year 30, when you're 33, you're probably like, oh my God, if I'm still a virgin at 33, my life's going to be over. And no, it's not. You still have a lot of fun. You can still like pursue your goals, and you know, you can still date girls and stuff. It's just, it's not the end of the world. That's why I put that out there at that time.
I mean, the Catholic Church is based upon if you're becoming a priest or a nun, that you're going to be a virgin for the rest of your life, and no one makes fun about that. Even though there are probably three Catholic priests in the world that
actually
sex.
Follow that. I think Catholic priests get laid more than...
That's why they become priests, to have sex with housewives. That's, I think, the point.
Yeah, every house... Yeah, when I went to church, every mom in the Astoria was falling all over the priests, so, you know. If I wanted to get laid, I should probably become a priest.
But hey,
that black looks good.
There's a double standard. I mean, that's the essence of the matter. I mean, for a guy not to have sex, I mean, there's a huge stigma. And the reverse is true for women. I mean, if she has too much sex too soon, then she's a slut, a dog, etc. So I think that's what you're addressing. I mean, that's the heart of the thing, is the double standard here.
Well, yeah. Well, when I wrote the article, you know, like everyone that was supportive was women. There was like only like one woman who says something nasty. I don't even know who she is. But everyone that was negative was men talking about what a loser I was, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like you're absolutely correct. You know, if a woman was to have a lot of when women have a lot of sex, they're a whore or whatever. And when a guy doesn't have a lot of sex, he's a loser and a disgrace and all this stuff. And women were always supportive, more supportive than guys were. Guys were very judgmental when I wrote.
No, that's interesting. Now, Ray, did you want to have sex and found that you were too afraid to have sex? I mean, what was the reason why you were a virgin? Is it simply a choice, or there's something going on underneath?
No, I mean, like, you know, sometimes it was a choice. You know, if the girl was 500 pounds and broke through the door, but
Sounds a little sexist to me.
Yeah, well, dude, no. If you're a 33-year-old virgin, 500 pounds doesn't sound so bad.
Well, no, actually, it's funny because a 19-year-old girl hit me up on Twitter. I wanted to meet up with me, but then that didn't work out. But my friends were like, oh, she's 19. And I'm like, listen, it's not like I'm 33 and I just got out of a marriage. I'm 33, and anyone over 18 and over, you got to go for it. The rules are out.
Yeah, I think they're saying 19's too old, right?
No, they were saying 19's too young.
Oh, okay.
But it might be too old. You never know. So, but anyway, back to your point. I'm sorry. Back to your question. Sometimes it was a choice, but more often than not, you know, it didn't work out with the girls that I've wanted to date or sleep with or stuff of that nature. So, sometimes it was my choice. You know, like there was one girl I actually brought her up the other day that she was interested in me about 10 years ago, and I just didn't feel the same way. And sometimes it was the opposite, where I liked the girl and it just didn't work out.
So I'm going to ask everyone in the room here, what do you think about simply casual sex, meeting someone, having a drink or a couple of drinks, and just hooking up? Do you think there's any virtue in that, or do you think it's simply a waste of time and actually takes away from getting to know another person? Let's start with Mark.
I think casual sex, as we define it, is anything but casual. The way we talk about sex is like, okay, there's either casual and you can't be intimate with somebody, or in a serious relationship, you are more intimate. But I found that in casual sex, in casual sexual encounters, can be incredibly intimate. Because you and this girl are coming from two different social circles. You can talk to each other about anything. And in fact, having sex is a way to connect with girls. And that's, I think, the real problem. And I think what you're really missing out on, Ray, isn't like the physical sensation of putting your penis in a woman's vagina. Yes, that feels awesome. Let's not take away from that. But ultimately, what you're missing out on is connection with women.
Well, I think that's what you say in the beginning. I mean, you say you're looking for a woman that you can care for and that she cares for you. And that's where seduction comes in. And I think that's an art that we've all lost. But men in particular have dropped the mating effort and they've lost the whole business of courtship to make a woman crazy for
well,
you.
Well, porn's pretty good nowadays. I don't know if you've seen it, but...
What's pretty good?
Porn.
I actually think porn is such a waste of time. I think that porn is... It's like watching a sci-fi movie. It's not intimate. It's not. It's boring. And I would rather just meet, you know, someone and have a great dialogue with them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm being facetious, of course. Oh, and there's all this anxiety with meeting girls and going out with them, even for a casual drink.
Now,
so
that's
the porn
question.
Is right there, and it.
That's the question I have for Ray. Ray, would you be opposed to casual sex? Because I agree with Mark. It could be in your case, you know, you have no wife, no one to answer to. It could be incredibly intimate if, in fact, you put the intimacy in it. And obviously, I'm looking at you, you absolutely have emotional needs to connect. Now, the question is, do you have the ability to take the perceived rejection? Because remember, all rejection is self-rejection. Call me fat and bald. Well, I'm bald and 20 pounds overweight. Who gives a shit? I don't. So,
Okay, as far as like your question, I think casual sex with the right person and me, I wouldn't mind it so much. Like, I do want the right person to be with. But on the other hand, if we were talking about her in the hallway, Kim Kardashian was single, went up to me in a bar and said, come home with me tonight, I wouldn't turn her down. You know what I mean? The per example, that is, again, the girl I mentioned that wanted to meet up with me over the summer. If she had just wanted to have sex with me and then she went back to wherever she's from, I would be fine with that. Would I prefer to be in a relationship? Yes. But on the other hand, you know, you can't look a gift horse in the mouth. You know, if somebody really interesting and attractive just wants to have sex with you once and then wants to go away, you know, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. My problem is, though, when I have tried to do that, where I've met, like, girls after a show, or I've met, like, you know, like a lot of, you know, comics. Like I wrote in the article, it's very hard for a comic not to get laid in the city. Like, even comics that bomb somehow get laid. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And we've had occasions where we've all gone out with a group of girls from the shows, and somehow, and I equate it to like Super Mario Brothers. When you play Super Mario Brothers, you get to a certain point where you have to jump over the ledge or you fall down and die, and somehow I always seem to fall down the ledge. I don't know how to jump over that ledge. To take it to where you're just talking in a bar, to where you're now being like, let's go back somewhere and have sex or, you know, hook up. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where to take it to that level.
Okay, so we're back to the art of seduction, which a man named Timothy Perper, he's a psychologist, did a study of a group of men, and he found that the majority were oblivious about the arts of seduction. They didn't have a clue. The women were up on it, but the men didn't have any idea what women want or how to go about in ravishing them and getting them into bed, and once getting them there, making them happy. And I think that's really more important than being a virgin.
Yeah. Well, I gotta get them there before I can make them happy.
But yeah. What Betsy is saying is so relevant here, yeah, because what happens is that if you're just looking to get laid and you're not looking to actually get to know what it is that makes a woman think and tick and get wet, then you have a problem.
Yeah, well, I get to know them on a, like, you know, like a couple, like, this was like October of last year. Was it last year? Maybe it was 2011. You know, I was talking to this one woman, and I got to know her quite well. We talked at the bar for 2 hours, and then it came to like 3 a.m., and she's like, all right, well, I'm going to go. And I said, okay, see you later. And my other friend, who was a comic, who had a terrible set that night, I had a really good set. He actually had a terrible set that got flop sweat and everything. Took home one of them and went to the hotel. I mean,
well, I think it's funny you use the Super Mario analogy of jumping over this thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing to jump over, maybe. I think that what you need to jump over is all in your mind.
You always need to cue.
Maybe she wants to go home with you. No, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to make anything happen.
But
it's already happening.
I feel like you need to know the cue when to, you know, you can't just walk up to a woman and be like, hey, you want to sleep with me? You have to know the cue when to bring it to the next level where you want, hey, I like to get
it. I think we're focusing too much on first date sex. How about the idea of getting to know someone?
Or even like the cue to where you can be like, I'm interested in you sexually, or I'm interested in dating you. I don't know the cue.
How about I'm interested in getting, you know, getting another drink with you another time or taking you out to dinner?
But what happens is I'll keep going out with them, and eventually I'm like, you know, I hit on them or something. Like, there's plenty of girls that I've hung out with a lot. And then, like, I'll hit on them. They'll be like, oh, my God, I just see you like a brother. I just see you like a friend. And it's like, oh, I missed. You know, you missed the jump-off point where you're supposed to.
I just wonder how you're, quote, hitting on them. Because
I don't really hit on them. That's what I do.
You see what I mean?
The equivalent of me hitting on them is like, hey, you look nice today.
Yeah, so. Women are crazy about the royal rush. I mean, if you look at the popularity of 50 Shades of Grey, that is no accident. Women just love that kind of pursuit. So that if you come on strong, really passionate, right at the get-go, Sure, you risk rejection, but 90% of the time, that's going to lodge somewhere in a woman's subconscious, and she's going to be interested. You only have to read these romance novels. This is what women crave. They want a little order in their life. I mean, we're living in the post-courtship world, the post-romantic world. But wait a minute. Women want it. They really do.
Exactly. And that's 90% of what I say guys do is be open about your intentions. Be honest right from the get-go. Tell girls they're beautiful. Yes, girls will reject you. But so what? If you live in this beautiful city where 1 in 20 girls on average, if you do that, they will sleep with you. And it's awesome.
Especially if you know how to compliment women. If you do it sincerely and if you pick the right thing to compliment and if it's not some generic pickup line, 90% of the time you're going to succeed.
Well, I would say you don't have to know how to do it. What you need to do is get to yourself to the place where we have very little anxiety in those interactions. And then whatever you say is pretty much going to be okay unless you start talking about something ridiculous.
Yeah, I think Mark is dead on. The bottom line is that when you are nervous within yourself, lots of women, you know, have some women are very secure and some women are very insecure. But women do not like insecure men because it just doesn't fit their profile of what men should be. So you, taking both Betsy and Mark's advice about being yourself, being assertive in what you want, you being a pursuer, and not worrying about the outcome.
Yeah.
Okay? Because remember, again, rejection is self-rejection. There's no rejection. The key fits the lock. It opens. It doesn't open. Yeah. Next lock.
Yeah, and it's funny because like when I go for stand-up comedy auditions or I put my writing out there, when I get rejected, I don't really care. But then and I think it all stems back to like what happened to me in high school and stuff. When I go for a girl and it doesn't work out, like it really bothers me. You know, like I could get thrown off Last Comic Standing. I don't care. But if the girl in catering doesn't want to go out with me, that's gonna bother me more than getting kicked off a TV
show. Now tell me why it bothers you.
Well, I just think that's an interesting question.
I'll tell you why I think.
Okay.
I think it bothers you because you are questioning, am I good enough? You know, I mean, what's wrong with me? I think that her rejection makes you reject yourself. Okay. And therefore, you experience the pain as opposed to didn't work out next.
Can I add something else, too? I think being self-involved is also a downer because what you want to do is lose yourself in the moment and focus on her. Because in Swoon, my book, I had a round table of women. These were all alpha women, and I asked them what they wanted most. And number one was attention, full-on attention.
The most beautiful girl in the world is the one you're talking to.
Gotcha. Perfect.
I say that all the time.
That's perfect. But if you go
if you
in
convince yourself of that, it's actually pretty easy to convince yourself of that.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're really horny and got a lot of testosterone. Like, you can convince yourself that this girl is the most beautiful girl in the world.
Yeah, but if you're tied up in not thinking about yourself, then you're leaving her out of the mix.
You're not only leaving her out of the mix, then for her it's not a hookup. For her, you know, you're an unpaid shrink.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not good. So there's the fear. Okay, now you're a comic, okay? Nothing wrong with the way you look, and Betsy has pointed out so often, looks have nothing to do with the ability to attract, seduce, and score. I agree with Mark. Nothing. But
as guys think.
But not as much as one thinks. A lot of it is personality.
You've got to see Swoon. I'll tell you, I wouldn't say the majority, but at least half of the men in my book, and I study the great seducers of history and today, are nothing to look at, absolutely nothing. H.G. Wells was this little guy with a big belly with a high-pitched Cockney accent, and there was no woman in England that he could not seduce. They all wanted to have his babies. Margaret Sanger wanted to sleep with him. Margaret Gellhorn, who ditched Hemingway, slept with him. I mean, he was just a knockout.
Well, fame helps.
This was before he was even famous. This man was this.
What I tell guys is, look, all you really need to do is get above the 50th percentile and just shave, iron your shirt, maybe go to the gym a few days a week, and you're there. If you have messed up teeth, maybe fix your teeth too. But yeah, you don't have to be tall, handsome guy. That's for sure. Yeah. No, and a lot of tall, handsome guys I know, they don't do that well. They don't do as well as the short, stout guys I know. That's right. For sure.
Mark, you know, the bottom line is that there are a million, even if we asked each other what we prefer or like in a person. So everyone has their preferences. Some people want only people who are fit. But at the end of the day, it is your attitude, it is your personality that's going to make it happen. So what I want to know, would Ray, do you anticipate disaster, or do you actually have it in your head, this is going to be good?
You know, for a while, I was always anticipating this is going to be good, or this one's going to work out. And then when it didn't work out, it was like really like, oh, this sucks, like... But then, like, I would find someone else, and, you know, like, a per example was about 8 years ago. I met a girl at the time, so what was it? I was 25, she was 27, and she was a virgin. So I was like, oh, this is going to work out. This is going to be great. And I have to say, that was the biggest failure I had trying to date someone. She completely shut down at every moment. Every time I tried to reach out to her, and I told her, I said, I have feelings for you. I like to date you. She was, she completely shut me out every single moment. Every single time that I tried to,
I have feelings for you is a killer.
No, yeah. I know, but this is after we went out a couple of times.
It's still a killer.
Still remains.
Yeah. Meaning it's all.
Well, I wanted her to know that we were going out on dates. I, you know, because she was someone who was very inside herself. She was very insular. Is that the
you don't
word?
Say I have feelings for you. You say I want to get to know you.
I know. Well, I wouldn't say that nowadays. This is 8 years ago. Okay. So this is 8 years ago.
You're a good coach.
Yeah. But it just went completely wrong. And when it went completely wrong, that made me feel like crap. And I was like, wait a minute, this girl's a virgin. I was a virgin. Like, that should have been a natural fit. And she just completely, like, she went somewhere, you know, she moved away or something. But I look into her every now and then. She has a lot of issues. But then the next girl was a girl who was a bartender, and she was, you know, she was completely different than this other girl, and she had a lot of interest in me. We went out on a couple of dates, and I thought, oh, she was the one who pursued me. She started texting me. She was actually the first person I started texting. And she said we should hang out, blah, blah, blah. And usually female bartenders don't do that. It's just like, I'll see you at the bar, and then you overtip them. And then they say, see you later.
It is easier to take a stripper home than it is a bartender.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, bartenders just, oh, you don't even try.
But she was asking to go out with me. I wasn't really asking out with her. And then she, I'll never forget this one night, I worked a lot, long hours. I think I worked a double. And she called me out, and I went out to see her. And she was insisting that I come out. I went out to see her, and I met her after work. We walked for a while, and she started telling me, and this is, I thought, like, she wanted to talk to me about you know, us or whatever, because she was like, I really need to talk to you. She started talking to me about another customer at the bar had revealed that he had feelings for her. And she was like, I don't want to be with him, blah, blah. So she brings me to some gay bar. We go to the gay bar. She orders a drink. And then she goes like, oh, you know, the reason why we came to this gay bar was he lives above it, and he's really lonely right now. I need to go see him, and blah, blah, blah.
And she leaves you in the gay bar.
She leaves me in the gay bar. And she's married to that man today.
Oh, come on. With your gift of gab, you could have easily talked to her around that.
Well,
one.
He had an English accent, so.
Yeah, but comedy is depth charge aphrodisiac.
Yeah, but it was so funny because
I want to pick up something on what Betsy just sputtered it out, and Mark, you are really good at your insights. You know, meaning. I've done executive life coaching and do it for 37 years. But Mark, you're a natural when it comes to giving good advice of how to connect. Now, the truth of the matter is you need someone to actually coach you, because at the end of the day, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, well, with women, yeah, with other things, I know what I'm doing.
No, we're talking about women right now.
Yeah,
well, I was going to say to Ray, after this or maybe some other day, we go out to the bars and at least make out with some girls.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Mark, you're a good guy.
And I want to say, like, you just talk to a lot of girls and it's going to happen. I get the feeling, like, you get yourself in these situations.
With one girl.
With one girl, and you're like, okay, now this one has to work out. Yeah. And I'm saying create 20 of those situations in a week, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well I had...
You know, then it's going to happen.
I had a bunch of girls actually hit me up on Twitter after the article came out. And, you know, and I was kind of, you know, playing around with all of them, which was a lot of fun because it was like, all right, now I don't care whether this works out or not. And none of them really worked out because none of them came to New York. But it was just fun to have that going after the article came out.
I mean,
fun.
You need a good wingman who brings you over and says, do you know how much an Arab sheik would pay for a virgin? How much are you going to pay for this guy?
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. Why don't you post an $800,000 like the medical student at the University of Washington?
Do you always wait, when you meet a girl, do you always bring up the fact that you're a virgin?
Nope.
Okay.
No, the only reason I wrote the article was I felt like politically at that time it was the right thing to put out. But other than that, I never bring it up. If I manage to get to again, I'm going to use a video game analogy, level 3 where we're in bed together, I suppose we'll figure that out when it comes to it. I don't get to level 3.
Okay, but don't bring up the virgin thing. Don't bring up the video game analogy thing because it's essentially the same thing.
But, girls are starting to become more geekier now. They're actually becoming geekier than me, which is pretty scary. But, however,
they pretend,
I have had the situation, I'll tell you this, where I've been with a girl at a bar and it's going really well. And, again, I grew up in Astoria, Queens, so a lot of my friends aren't, like, really refined. At one night, my one friend had wanted to talk to this girl. She was all about me. He comes running over. He goes, yo, my boy's a virgin. Hook him up.
Oh, no.
She lost all – she just walked away after that. And I was pissed at the guy, and I never hung out with him
ever
again. I said, why would you say that? I'm trying to help you out, bro.
But wait a minute.
Thanks, buddy.
This is opposite to the European tradition where older women took on younger men. I mean, like Colette took on her stepson and taught him the ropes. And it was considered a point of pride. She, Colette, that is, and her friends kind of threw dice to determine who was going to initiate him. So that was considered a prize job, to take a virgin and show him what women really want in bed. And I wanted to get right to the bedroom there because there's a lot of performance anxiety among men that they don't talk about. This is deeply repressed, a lot of subconscious fears and so forth. And they need to know their way around the bedroom, and they need to know what women like or that particular woman wants. And once you've got that down, you're good to go.
I would also add something to it. There's a bunch
Let's
of stuff.
Let's get there first.
There's a bunch of self-confidence that goes into that, because performance anxiety is the problem. If you think it's a performance, you're not getting laid.
Yeah. There was a girl I was hooking up with for a while. And when we did hook up, that there was no, like, I don't know, I was all about the physicality. You know what I mean? Once I get to the physical level, I'm about it, except she was kind of a tease. She liked making out with me, but when I would bring up, let's have sex, she'd be like, no, I only see you like a friend or a brother. And I'd be like, do you make out with your brother? And one time she actually said, maybe.
Take her clothes off.
What, sorry?
You don't say it. You just take your clothes off.
No, I know. But every time I would try to do that, she would cut me right off. But we were hooking up for a while.
Let me ask you a question. Is your testosterone levels, meaning do you masturbate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Why have you not, not suggesting yes or no, but why haven't you gone to a prostitute?
I figure you're going to ask that question.
I'm curious. And someone who would actually, you know, be that more experienced person.
At this point, you know what? If I was going to do that, I should have done that at like 19. I just feel like at this point, like when I have sex, I want it to be, even if it's a one night stand, I want it to be a woman who said, you know what? I want to have sex with Ray Gutz. Like, I want to do it tonight.
Yeah.
At this point, it's like, I feel like I would just be giving up. I feel like emotionally and mentally, that would mess me up more than if I never had sex.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. And I think the need here isn't, like I said before, the sensation of your penis going in a vagina.
Yeah.
This is about connection.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to connect with women and to be a part of their life if you're not having sex with them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have female friends, and that's great, and you can talk to them, but sex helps.
Yeah, sex is awesome. But, yeah, that's the whole thing. I just feel at this point, if I was going to do it, if I was going to do it that route, I should have done it like years and years ago. At this point, you know, I want it to be not all for nothing. I want it to be like, you know, okay, I met this incredible girl. And even if it's just a one night stand, we had sex, and she was awesome, and it was great, and she was a very nice person.
See, it's funny now. Here's where Betsy get.
I'm sorry. No, I just wanted to get back to the issue of good sex, because we have an art of barbecuing, an art of basketball, but we don't have an art of good sex.
Yeah, that's because people in this country get nervous when you talk about, you know, you can shield nine people.
Oh, keep on going, man. I like where you're going here, Betsy.
No, but what I'm saying is,
what is the art of good sex all about?
All right, so we have an asymmetry here. We have men take 3.7 minutes to ejaculate, and women 20 minutes to reach an orgasm, right? So, obviously, there's an artistry that has been taught for centuries, no, millennia.
You got to learn Kegels, is what she's saying.
Kegel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know about male Kegels, but certainly...
Oh, men do Kegels to keep from ejaculating too soon. Oh. I do them when I have sex.
Yeah, well...
I would come in 2 seconds if I didn't.
That's also called chorizo, which was practiced for centuries, withholding orgasm for men. But there are all kinds of techniques. I mean, if you think about it, look at some of these old sexual manuals. And I would say more than that, ask the woman. You know, women, each woman is individual in her tastes. And most men don't ask. And they don't care. And the number of stories I've heard about selfish men, in quotes, would boggle your mind.
I think a lot of men do care, actually, but I think they're also too anxious to ask. And if they ask, then, it makes it weird in the bedroom.
That's
but
right.
As long as you're comfortable with asking, she's going to be comfortable. You know?
And
just have this open communication. And yeah, like some girls like things that other girls don't, and you just have to... You don't have to ask that much, and it doesn't take that long to figure it out.
No, I didn't say that it did.
Right.
But the more experienced you are, the more you get the hang of each.
But that's true, but the more experienced you are, because the thing that kills men in the bedroom is when the woman says a little to the right, a little to the left, up, you know. So it all of a sudden it becomes from erotic, you know, to the guy running the crane and trying to get into the right hole. what I would say now, here's I'm going to throw out something that is complete, gluckism. I think that emotional intimacy actually freezes at the level of sexual intimacy. I think that there's nothing wrong about creating a deeply in a real emotional base, and then on top of that, adding sex. So this way, you're not nervous about the performance. It's about two people who really want to go further in exploring someone. And to be honest with you, sex adds to, it's the cherry on the cake.
Totally. I was just dating this girl, and we were talking, and we were out on a date, and I kind of felt like I was talking to her, but not really. Then we went back to my place and had sex. Then it was a real conversation and a real connection. And that happens all the time.
It's interesting. I mean, it could happen that way, or it could happen in the reverse. It has a lot to do with the women. And sometimes if women were married and their husbands, in their eyes, were sexual duds, they want to have sex first. They want to make sure the guy could get it up. And there are other women who want to make sure who don't like the idea that they're just objectified. Mm-hmm. So the honest truth is you have to know who you're dealing with. One size doesn't fit all. And all the stereotypes and all the advice goes out the window unless you know who you're dealing with.
Yeah, that's why you use the word art rather than craft or science.
But there are general principles, I think, that can be applied.
True.
Yeah.
But you can mix and match and adjust them to your talents and the individual person.
True. But, yeah. And one of those principles that I think that you're dealing with, Ray, is if you're having an issue with one stage in talking to a woman or one stage in having sex, usually goes back to anxiety and maybe some shame.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I feel shame. It's just I don't know when. Again, like, I just don't know the cue, and then I always feel like I missed the bus. Like, I always feel like I've been waiting at the bus stop, and the bus just passed me by.
You know? Well, I'm going to ask you the question, because I want you to hone in on what Mark said. Is it shame? Is it insecurity? Is it the belief that something about you is just that unappealing? What is the issue?
I just think it's not shame, because I don't really feel ashamed of myself. I think I'm a pretty cool guy. I just feel like I just don't Wait, say the question again. I'm sorry. I heard the question, but you just got to say it to me again.
All right. So, again, Mark threw out the issue of shame and that he in his expertise, realizes that shame is very often a part of why men and sometimes women cannot or don't function sexually. But I'm asking you, is it for you shame? Is it insecurity? Is it the lack of belief that you're going to accomplish it? And is it a fear that if you do have sex and then she doesn't want to call you back, that that's also a bummer? Like, what's going on in your head?
I mean, I think when I was younger, yes. At this point in my life, I don't really have the fear so much like if I have sex, she's not going to call me back. I don't really think I care about that right now at this point, unless there's certain women I would care about that. But, like, if in general, like, I'm much more willing to, have a quick relationship with someone now than I was when I was younger. Because I feel like now it's just, like, I'm older and it's just like, all right, whatever, dude. You know what I mean? As far as, like, why I get afraid about rejection, I just feel like it just puts me in a shitty – can I curse?
Can you fucking curse? I don't know. Maybe not.
I never know with some of these podcasts. It just puts me, like, in a shitty mood and, like, you know, like, certain people, it's like, oh, if this girl rejects me, then, you know, it makes me feel like I can't accomplish that much. If certain women.
I would say that is shame.
Yeah.
That feeling of rejection, that hurt that you feel, that is shame. I mean, we all feel a little bit rejected, yeah, a little bit hurt by it, but if it really puts you in a shitty mood, and I think another indication of shame that you said before is the Mario Brothers analogy of jumping over a pit.
Yeah.
There's no pit.
No, I know.
Girls,
but there's always,
some girls want to have sex with you. It's there. But you act like there's a pit, and I think you are pushing these girls away.
Well, it is. You know what it is? It's so – because nowadays, like on the internet, there's all these things where it's like, okay, you know, I got into a big fight with my friends because one of my friends – actually, we stopped talking because of this. I read a review where somebody wrote, men always need to be careful around women because a man is a constant threat to a woman, and you need to always be aware and not approach them, or something like that. Someone wrote.
I never
that.
Heard that article.
I'm sorry.
Why would a man be a threat to a woman?
They probably have like five of those on Salon a day.
It was on AV Club actually. It was a review of an episode of Louis. So I put the quote and I said, you know what? We're not werewolves. You know, men aren't werewolves. I'm not going to be afraid to walk up to a woman and say hi. And if I woke up to a woman and say hi and she thinks that I'm going to like rape or kill her, she's got bigger issues than me saying hi. Yeah. And my one friend start yelling at me, you need to be more sensitive about women's issues. You just can't go up and talk to women nowadays. Like, you need to be more sensitive.
I think this is so...
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. I talk to women all the time.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I just have it built up in me. And the amount of women who get angry at me for talking to them is probably one or two of
them. Their husbands.
Exactly, yeah. It's like some weird thing they're putting out there. They're trying to put some weird thing out there where it's like, don't talk to women.
No. Women love it when you come talk to them in a genuine, sincere...
I think, Ray? I think you've been poisoned by the culture. I mean, we're living in this hyper-sexualized porn sphere. And all of these pressures on men to, you know, rack up big numbers to big, hot players and so forth. I think I hate to use a word like introject, but you've internalized all of those feelings. And that's the source of the shame. It's not you at all. I mean, there's nothing sexier than comedy, honestly.
Oh, thank you.
And it's the hottest aphrodisiac. You know, Venus was laughter-loving goddess. I mean, it is the very heart of sexuality. So you've got it all there. It's just that you've somehow drunk from the wrong well. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, I grew, you know, where I grew up, the girls in my neighborhood, they just aren't impressed by, like, comedy or art. You know, like, if I meet a girl my age that grew up in my area, they're like, all right, well, where do you have a house? Do you have this? And I'm like, no, I don't have a house because I'm pursuing comedy. I mean, you know, I have goals.
You should have said this cardboard count.
I'm sorry?
I said you should have said this cardboard count.
This cardboard count, yeah. Yeah, well, actually, I still have my parents, too. So that's also a thing that, you know, they can't bring their woman home because we have to walk. See, here's the thing. Here's how my house is laid out. I didn't put this in the article, and I wrote an article, actually, about living with my parents in Salon. Didn't publish it. But when you get to my house, the first room you have to go through is my mother's bedroom. It's a railroad, except for my
That's sexy.
Yeah. So literally, I have to get them through the minefield of my mother before even getting into the bedroom, my bedroom is off on the side, but every other room in the house is railroad.
Can I suggest that that's not where you go? Okay,
yeah, no, don't go back to my place. But no, that's the thing. No. That's another thing. You know, if a girl's like, I want to go back to your place, then I have to say to her, I still have my. I have to. Well,
no, you could say unless
I'm
you want to have
fumigated.
But you, unless you want to have a threesome with my mother, we can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's funny. I like that.
Meaning,
well, actually,
meaning
it was
use
girl...
your comedy, yeah. use
That's
your
right.
gift
yeah.
to make everything. Nothing's a problem.
Nothing's like a big deal.
Nothing's
yeah.
a big deal.
Yeah, right. You're right.
That's good. I like that.
Or what I do, if any of my negative qualities come up and I'm with the girl, I just pretend like they're positive.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, this is part of my charm.
Well,
this
I always
makes
say,
me
like,
endearing. What are you talking about?
It's true. Like I always say, like, well, I have to take care of my mom. My parents are much older. I have to take care of them, which is true. Like, you know, they're sick, they're older, and they're older and they're not doing so awesomely. I have to take care of them. I have to help them out. So it's cheaper for me to live there than it would be to rent an apartment in Manhattan.
Correct, but
jobs.
You know, the bottom line is that you also have to know where your fishing well is, and I get a kick.
And that's why, like, I stay out of Queens.
I get a kick out of Mark's. You know, if anyone sees something bad, he turns it into a good trait. I thought I was the only hypnotist in the room. Obviously, Mark. You kind of turn it all around, which is good because at the end of the day, here's what he's saying, and he's right: is that there is no negative. Just reposition it, and it's a positive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's fun. You're just having fun. And when you say, even if, like, yeah, I'm taking care of my parents, they're really old, like, that's great and noble, but that's not fun anymore.
Yeah, I know.
It's much more fun to be like, no, this is part of my character, my part of my charm.
Yeah.
Girls just want to have fun. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know. But I have to give them a reason, though, why they can't have fun in my house. That's just the reason. I have to explain that part.
No, because lots of the women you're going to go are going to have their own places, their own apartment,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and then basically, you know, simply I'm in transition. Meaning, don't make a big deal about the things that are aren't right.
If I meet a girl that lives with her parents, too, be like, okay, so you get it. So we'll just have to figure this out some other way, you know.
Okay, this is ridiculous. I think you should get your dance on, too. They've done studies of women, and they would rather go off with the guy who dances well than somebody who is a titan of business. So, men don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read any of the player literature, they say alpha men don't enter the dance floor. You know, that we watch, we don't dance. But women are crazy about that.
And I would say even if you're bad at dancing, it's pretty much okay as long as you're having fun. If you're
exactly.
having fun with it, it's still
exactly.
okay. You don't have to be
100%.
The only time I ever danced
Bruno Mars or anything. You just have to go out there, try to have a good time. You have some rhythm. You're probably not going to be Steve Martin and the Jerk. But even if you
but
are,
even if you are, that might get. I think being Steve Martin the Jerk might get you laid better than.
Well, you remember the
well, a lot of women like that movie because Steve Martin is endearing.
I get the feeling from you is that you don't want to get laid. You want to actually be in a relationship with his great sex.
Yeah. Exactly. Unless, like I said, and I still like her, even though a lot of people don't like her anymore. Britney Spears or someone. Walks in the bar, you know, and I meet them and they give me an opportunity.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, look, right. We all want to be in a great relationship and have great sex with that great someone. But I'm saying, like, you haven't even tried ice cream, and I'm taking you up to the ice cream truck and saying, let's just try something.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, so what?
Yeah, no, I know. And I'm more, and I've, you know, what's here? Sorry, I lost the train of thought. I'm, you know, 10 years ago, I'd be like, no, I gotta be in a relationship. It's got to be with certain girls. I'm more now willing to be like, okay, whatever. This girl, maybe this girl. Well, I don't care if she doesn't like me. I'm going to hit on her, ask her out. I'm more like down for that. I'm more open for rejection now than I've ever been, I think, in my life. But in the past, you know, my 20s, I was so like afraid and stuff. And now I just feel like, whatever, you know.
So I'm going to let everyone else know because, you know, this is a podcast. Most people listen to it. Ray is really a great guy. He really actually genuinely cares. He's funny. He's honest. You know, the fact that he actually cares for his parents, where most people, the old saying that, you know, seven kids could, a mother could take care of seven kids, but seven kids can't take care of one mother. You know, the fact that you have those great qualities and you can make people laugh. People need to.
And on top of that, even a better compliment is I would have never guessed you were a virgin if I met you.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need the WCW t-shirt probably. You could comb your hair and maybe shave.
Well, I
but
I, was,
I would have never guessed.
I put gel in like later tonight when I go do stand up. I put gel in. I just don't like putting gel in twice a day. So it's like,
let's cut to the chase. He's hot. That's what women want.
Thank you. Thank you for putting me over.
Hey, Ray, do you work out?
No.
Working out helps, man.
What?
That's great. Working out helps.
No,
makes
I know.
You feel
I just,
good about yourself. You stand taller. Get those endorphins flowing.
Yeah, I do these web shows, and I work full time. I also work full time, and I do stand up. I do all these.
Let me just say, what Mark is saying is absolutely true.
No,
and working out doesn't mean going to the gym. It means having a routine you do right next to your bed: push ups, sit ups, calisthenics.
I was thinking about getting the DDP yoga.
Having a video and just following the video, but in your case, right now, every little bit helps. Because you need to get over that hump, and you need to realize you're not a pariah, you know, you're not a leper, you know, you're a great guy that has a lot of things going for him, and you know what? Anyone who gets you, I actually think is getting a really great guy.
Oh, thanks. That's cool.
We could go on and on forever, but unfortunately we can't. So I just want to thank the both of you. Mark, you got great advice. You should really
well, he does.
Do some coaching
he
stuff.
He does. I
you
read
do.
This wonderful
okay.
thing online.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I like
yeah.
you. I like the
thing?
Fact that you get right to the heart of it, and you speak from your heart, and you know what you're talking about.
Well, I live this stuff, and I deal with male psychology on my website, animusempire.com, and a lot of male psychology problems comes down to I got this girl's number and she's not texting me back. You know, a lot of it is concretized in this thing we called mating, seduction, attraction, whatever. And that's when guys ask me questions.
Ray,
yes.
You know, you're tops. Thank,
thank
you guys.
You.
Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah, I really recommend 6 best ways to show sexual interest in a girl. Mark, it's great.
Thank you. AnimusEmpire.com.
Just needs to be supplemented with Swoon, but as far as it goes.
And Seductress.
No,
of
it's
course.
Greatest.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I want to once again truly thank Ray Gutz and Mark Darien for coming onto our show. Pick up a copy of Mark's ebook at manguidetoshame.com and visit his website at animusempire.com. Stay updated on what Ray is up to by following him on Twitter at Ray Gutz with a Z. Betsy, it was fun. You know, too short a time, too much kind of going on. But one of the things that we should really talk about is that Betsy is taking a break to write another bestseller. Okay, and to say that you be missed is the biggest understatement that I could possibly say.
Well, to say that I will miss Gluck Radio is an understatement, too. Okay. I've often said I've learned more here than I did in graduate school and had much more fun. You all are a fabulous crew here and a wonderful show.
You were my anchor, and you your books are amazing, and they're just going to keep on getting more amazing. Now, we do have not a replacement. No one can replace her, but we have someone who's going to fill in. She is actually amazing. Her name is Kitty Cavalier. She is smart. She is funny. She is savvy. You will absolutely love her. And she just wrote a book on seduction, and this woman lives her book. She will actually have you on your toes, which is what we want. I am Dr. Errol Gluck. Betsy and I both want you to remember, to every problem there is a solution. And all the women out there who want the honor of being with a 33-year-old virgin who's a great comedian, let us know. Please check out our other episodes on www.gluckradio.com. Buy Betsy Perillo's books on the art of seduction on Amazon.com. They're entitled Seductress and Swoon, which now is out in paperback.
Keep listening and keep sending in your feedback. Till next time.